out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloodied but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. It's Invictus by William Ernest Henley. So as we return to Yakim and the absolute craziness that his life is slowly becoming, let's do some bookkeeping. We start. We had cleaned up the threads lists and everything before, but now we gave an advancement, one to Yakim and then one to Tawny. So Yakim is picking up the Deadshot Edge, which means anytime he draws a Joker, he doubles the damage of that whatever attack roll he makes. Could only happen once per turn, but that's still actually quite a bit, considering how hard he hits. And then for Tawny, she's just bumping her strength die up one, which will mean that when she loses it, she can actually do, I think it's D12 plus 1 or plus 2 on her strength rolls, which is pretty spectacular too. Yeah, strength is now a D12. So, as we return back in, let's start with our fate check to find out if our scene of Yakim, Tawny, and these two Fenoti kids sitting in the backseat of his car as they drive away from a pretty horrendous massacre. So with a chaos factor of 7, let's see if the scene continues. It's a 5, so it is an altered scene. Let's now go to the scene adjustment table and find out how it's altered. It is 6, add an object. Okay. Now let's try to find out what that object is. Legends, gods, locations. You think I'd have tagged this one already. Civilizations, creatures, abilities. I thought there was one that's just already just objects. There it is, objects. So let's go ahead and get our D100. 77. Rare. And 10. Rare and colorful. Okay. Jot this down. Rare and colorful object. Okay, well, I'm gonna try to assign some meaning to it too. Where's the generic meaning tables? Descriptions. So let's go ahead and roll on this. Description 1. 73, nicely. 24, nicely delightful. Rare and colorful. Okay. So as the as Yakim driving away from this black market massacre site where they had just picked up these two kids they were asked to bring back, and there is just kind of a slight glimmer of light in the back seat. And Tawny from the passenger side up front, looking over at Yakim for a moment to kind of glint back. Actually, we'll give her a quick notice roll to see if she sees this. Yeah. She catches the slight glimmer of light in the mirror. She turns around like, "What you kids got back there?" And one of them, the young girl, just kind of, her eyes rotate up in those long stalks that come off of the sides of her head. It almost looks like an ear beginning to quiver a little bit as she realizes that she's trying to glance furtively back down into her palms. Nothing. Tawny goes, "No, girl, don't be lying now. What you got in your hands there?" And she opens up her hands, And there is just a crystal. I'm going to jot that down. Crystal, potentially magic. And she, it was just a thing that I saw amongst some bad fellas. I didn't think they'd be needing it anymore after what you did. Don't hurt me like you did them. Tawny just kind of looks her up and down. She's like, oh no, girl. We no be harming you. Just, you need to tell us when you find these things, yeah? Now, why don't you let old Tawny see what this is? And, little girl, let's see. Does she? I'm going to give this a fate check. I'm going to say it's 50-50. She's a little intimidated, but she asks, does the little girl actually give this over to Tawny? It's a 49, so yeah. She kind of lifts her hands up, and she proffers this thing over. Tawny picks it up, takes it into the front seat. Yakim, a little distracted, kind of looks over, just glancing out of the corner of her eyes. What the fuck is that? That's not going to blow up or anything, is it? And Tawny, no, don't you be worrying. I'll be keeping an eye on it. And we're going to give her... She's going to roll one of her special powers. She's going to try to detect Arcana. So the first thing, we're going to look at her psionics, which is a D8. Not a wild card, so it's a single die. Ooh, it's a 1. She kind of blinks for a second. Oh, shit. She rolled a 1 on the... Ooh, all right. Tawny starts staring at this thing. And there's this moment where it just goes completely silent. Yakim, for a second, doesn't even hear the roar of the engine because something seems to be a little wrong. He looks over and Tawny's eyes are, they're blank. And she's staring down at this crystal, which is beginning to shimmer in various colors. Hey. I said, hey, put the thing down. What the fuck are you doing? It's starting to piss it off. And Tawny begins to have a slight trickle of blood down her nose. Her eyes still white as she is trying to pour her psionic energy into it, with what control of it she has, as she suddenly just begins to blink. Her eyes come back. She tries to rub the blood away from the bottom of her lip, and then it starts coming back out. So I'm going to see now. Now does Tawny's mental hindrance and her psychosis kick in? It's a 40, so yeah, that is a yes. Let's see here. She stops and she begins to blink very rapidly. She kind of rolls her head back and you hear, no. And then she just kind of comes to. She goes, No, my, that is pretty weird. What's... Oh, okay. Tawny's filling me in what's going on. Hey, Yakim, this is going to be a little weird. My name, let's give her a quick name. Where's my... I just had them. Of course, I put them down and they immediately run away. That's what dice goblins tend to do. So that's 43 and a... 69. 43 and 69. Oh, hi. My name's Keith. And Nikim goes, is that your last name, Tawny? She kind of blinks. She's like, this is going to be a little difficult to explain here, Nikim. Tawny's not actually me. Alright. Then, so hold on. Are you trying to tell me something here? You're not Tawny? Well, I'm not Tawny right now. Well, Tawny's one aspect of me. She's her own person. She sits in the back of my mind for the most part until things get particularly hairy. But, no, I'm Keith, and Tawny is one of my, well, she's one of the other people in here. Shit. You mean to tell me you got multiple personalities? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Normally we get along fine. I wouldn't worry about it too much. And, you know, Tawny tells me everything that's going on. Nikim, okay, you're fucking telling me this now. Well, now seems like a good time, doesn't it? He goes, no, it really doesn't. Can you fight like Tawny? Oh, our skills are not linked to the personality. Just, you know, our abilities come from the mom implant. Oh, fuck. Okay. Well, that's good. How many more there are you? Let's see here. I'm going to ask a fake question. Does Tawny have more personalities in there? I'm going to say this very unlikely, but with a chaos factor of 7, that means a 50 or below. 63. Keith looks up. She goes, no, Tawny and I are the only ones. Okay, so you seem to be a lot more sane than Tawny is. Is that the case? Do I need to worry about you and Tawny having any tussles or fights? And Keith kind of looks over and looks out the window. She goes, well, Tawny can be a little bit stubborn. He goes, yeah, I fucking noticed that. Are you stubborn? I don't think I am, but until you piss me off. He goes, you know what? Just tell me what I need to know when I need to know it. At this point, I'm just trying to make sure these kids get back. Look, I think it is important that we just make sure to level set here. There's always a chance in a particularly stressful situation or if something goes wrong where Tawny may re-exert control. What you tell me, Tawny knows, and vice versa. He goes, okay, well, Tawny was very adamant about not telling me your history and everything. Are you going to be the same? And Keith just kind of looks around. She goes, well, I think we can keep that one secret until these kids are back home. What'd you say? All right. No, these kids don't need to hear anything more than they already have. Anyway, do you know what that thing is? And Keith kind of looks at it. It's powerful. It's the reason that we had to splinter who we were again for a second. Tawny tried to read it to see if there was any magic emanating off of it. And instead, it just caused a splitting headache like it was fighting back against us. That's... Well, okay. Is that normal? You get that a lot? No. No, it's the first time we've ever had that. Okay, well... Why don't you... I think there's a little baggie or something in the glove box. Why don't you just go ahead and wrap that thing up, get it out of sight. I already don't like it. Gives me the creeps. Oh, I think we could just give it back to the kids. He goes, are you fucking kidding me? That could be a weapon right there. I'm talking about giving that back to kids. I may as well just give him my pistol. Little boy. Wait, can I have a pistol, mister? No, I'm not giving you a pistol. Until we know what that rock is. We ain't giving that back either. Tawny goes, I think that might... Or, not Tawny, Keith. Keith goes, yeah. I'm sorry, kids. Can we hold on to this for a little bit? We want to make sure that it is safe before you take it back home to your pa. Alright, but you're not robbing us, are you? No, ma'am. We're just keeping it safe until we know what it is. Okay. Little boy... Told you we shouldn't have let him see it. Well, I just wanted to look at it in the light. The trek continues on. Let's see, where did my list go? The trek continues on for quite some time. That was the only real, not even interrupt, just an alteration to the scene itself. But as they continue on forward, in the first day back seems to have no real other issues. So, we'll carry on. Let's see. Ask a question. Do we have any other interrupts on the trip back? Given the fact that they cleared the way, I'm going to say it's near impossible, but with chaos factor of 7, that's 35. 67. No. The next couple of days come back. Long, slogging trips all the way down. The kids get bored. You start hearing things like, just something like, no, I told you not to look out my window. Like, well, I never been in a car like this before. Well, what does that mean? Well, I just wanted to see if there's something different out your window. Why would you think there's something different out my window? Kids! Hey, kids. Could you guys keep it down back there? Okay. Don't piss him off. He's really scary. I know, but I wanted to see what was out your window. Hey. It's enough. Yes, sir. By the end of the second day, Yakim is rubbing his eyebrows quite often. Yakim doesn't seem like the type who would be particularly fond of kids. So, let me see here. That's not it. So, as Yakim and Keith, they occasionally ask each other questions, but for the most part, it seems like a quieter trip. And Yakim, by the first night, of course, they set up a campsite for the kids, small fire going, though the burning scent in the air is pretty strong. The what remains of that wildfire that just kind of swept through is enough that the even the campfire seems like just a small pittance of the scent in the air. But eventually, you know, the kids go to sleep, camped out under the stars. They seem pretty comfortable with it too, given that they, you know, living on a farm, they probably spent a couple of nights just sleeping rough just to be out there. But by that third day, as they come around, they just kind of, are we there yet? No, kids. You've already been asking that for like the past half hour. I don't think I can handle much more of that. Okay, well, let us know when we get there. Yeah, kids, I'll tell you when we get there, all right? All right. I have to go potty. We just stopped to go potty. Okay, but I gotta go again. Why? Well, we raced to see who could drink all of the water. He goes, oh. He looks over to Keith and he's like, yeah. All right, I'm gonna pull over and let these kids, you know, take a piss or something. And do you mind driving? Because they're driving me nuts. She goes, all right. And as they pull over and swap out, and I'm going to give Keem a survival roll. It's a d6, and then his wild die. Nope, that was cocked. Oh, that blows up. Okay. So Keem gets out, stretches his arms, stretches his back as the kids go running over. Even with the -1 from the fact that it's a boring drive and he hasn't had much action in the past couple of days. So the meds keep kicking in, just causing him to drift into an almost slightly stoned, kind of out of it phase. As he kind of stretches his back, he looks up at the sky, looks around, figures, all right, we'll probably be there today. And the kids go, oh, we're going to be seeing my dad today? Yeah, kids. The sooner you're done, the sooner we get back in the car, the sooner we can get on the road. Huh? Yay! And they come running back, slamming the doors. And then as they get in the car, Keith kind of looks up. She goes, all right. Well, are you ready to keep on going? He goes, yeah, just, I got things on my mind. I'm sure you do. Do you want to talk about it? Why the fuck would I want to talk about it? Because sometimes talking about it makes you feel better. It can, you know, alleviate anxiety and help with mental stress. Because you have a second voice in your head. You don't get to tell me how to deal with mental stress. She goes, maybe I do. Maybe I'm the only one who can. Starts rubbing his eyebrows again. As they pull into the farm towards the end of the day, the sun setting off in the distance, the kind of salmon-colored hue sky beginning to backlight this small ranch, some of the animals out wandering around let out their occasional warnings and bleats, as the farmer, who looks like he had been sitting in a chair by the front path, excitedly gets up when he sees the car, pulls a, you know, Texan-style 10-gallon hat off his head and seems to be playing with the edge of it. And as Yakim steps out, he opens the car doors, and the kids immediately go running out, and The Fenote rancher just drops to his knees and begins crying. He goes, "Oh, kids, I'm so good to see you. I'm so glad to see you." And this family reunion is met just by Yakim and Tawny watching, or Keef. I'm going to have to get used to that. Why do I keep changing NPCs' names? That's a really bad thing for me. But as eventually Yakim starts getting a little uncomfortable and starts making moves to get back to his car, and then the Fenote rancher, hey friends, this is a mighty kind thing that you did. I don't even know how to repay you. Can I at least invite you guys in for supper? Yakim, no, we should probably get going. And Keith turns to him. No, we stopped because we needed some supplies. This is a good place for us to stock up. Just as thank you. We're not going to get paid for it, so we may as well get something out of this. Nikim's like, look, I already got something out of this. And Keith turns, yeah, but you're not going to survive on the road unless you take advantage of the things that come your way. You want to pass out there and die of starvation? So I'm going to give her a persuasion check to see if she convinces Yakim to stop. Because he seems like he may be wanting to carry on. So let's go persuasion. She gets a d6. She rolled a 5. He gets his spirit, which is a d8. Now you blew up on that spirit roll, so he goes, look, let's not stop for dinner. Let's just get the supplies we need and fucking go. Okay. You know, if you took advantage and just leaned into people who are trying to be kind to you, occasionally kind things happen to you too. He goes, yeah, and sometimes you get shot, so let's just get what we need and go. And Yakim steps forward and goes, look, not to be rude, but it seems like you want to spend some time with the kids, I'm sure. Why don't we just get the supplies that we need? You said you could provide us with some food and maybe some fuel or something. Alright, sure, mister, but, you know, I don't want to be accused of not offering. He goes, no, you offered. It was greatly appreciated. I'm sure that you make a fine meal, but we just kind of want to get on the road. We got a lot of things that we want to do. And he goes, all right, okay, yeah. Why don't you just go ahead and pull your vehicle right up there and back it up towards the ranch, and I'll get you situated and loaded up. He nods. He goes, thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, we'll get you backed up. All right, so we will... where did my dry erase markers go? Well, that's going to be an issue on my dry erase board that I'm tracking all these things on. So... we'll start off, you got the kids back, so let's go ahead and take care of our threads list. Return the kids. So we'll just go ahead and mark that off. All right. Now we do have a new one to add, which is magical stone, I'll call it. Stone slash crystal. All right. Tawny is now also Keef. Nothing else really came up on this particular one. All right. And now, for the fate chart. That really wasn't much of a crazy scene, so we're going to knock it down to a 6, of course. Alright. Okay, so I picture the next scene as we come back on. Now loaded up, I'm going to say that they now have a supply die of a D8 plus 1. Increasing from D6 to a D8 to ensure that they have enough supplies to get through. The plus one represents the amount of fuel that they probably were able to get to. A, halfway decent farmer is going to have more than enough fuel to keep all of his vehicles going, whatever else he may need. So he probably had a little bit to spare. No real money, of course. Poor farmer out here, but at least it's something. And so now we're going to test. Where's my D10? Let's test the scene. I picture that Yakim and Keith are back on the road. It is a 5, chaos factor of 6, so it's a slightly altered scene. Not slightly, just at least an altered scene. So let's see here. That is a 7. Is that a 7? Translucent dice and light. Never a good thing. Okay, the altered scene makes 2 adjustments. That is a 2, add a character, and 4. Increase in activity. Okay. So, first thing we're going to do, we're going to roll on our characters list. Let's see what character comes into the scene. Now, first things first, we need a D8 to find out which one of these groupings. 8, we go to the bottom. And now we need to roll a D10. 2. Okay. Slightly altered scene here. Oh, I've got an idea. Let's try to get a description going first to see how this is actually going to work. So we roll that the character who's going to be added is Julian. So Julian comes into the scene. Now I'm imagining that, of course, if Julian's coming back in the scene, but it's only a altered scene, it's not an interrupted scene, it's not going to be a huge issue. 69, nice. Mockingly. 59, lightly mocking. The radio kind of cracks to life, and there is a voice on the other end. They're already on the road. No real issues so far. And suddenly, and there's a voice. Hey there, son. If you can hear me, I'm just hoping to get you to report in what you may have found while you're out there. Hope you've had good travel so far. I'm going to make sure that there's a waypoint drop-off in the next day or so. Just record your report, submit it to the radio station, and it'll broadcast its way back here. Good hunting, son. If we don't hear from you, we're going to assume that the Coalition found you. We're going to come out and investigate. Yakim looks down at the radio, kind of looks at his the date tracker in his car, and just goes, "Oh, fuck." And Keith looks over, he's like, "No, that's going to be an issue, isn't it?" He was expecting you to be already be there. He goes, yeah, he was. I mean, we're heading that way right now. Fuck. It's bad news. You never want to disappoint Julian. She goes, "Tell me about this Julian. Who is he?" So I'm going to say, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give her a persuasion roll. Now, I'm going to give her a +2. No, actually, I'm going to give Yakim's roll a -2. Because he is probably, while he's driving, of course, nothing really happening, he's probably kind of getting blissed out a little bit. Every now and then the, you know, biocomp kicks in just to kind of keep him a little high. So I'm going to give her roll, it's a 6, and I'm going to roll his -2. So he rolled a 7, but that brings it down to a 5. And so in this kind of like semi-blissed out state, not even blissed out, just the highway hypnosis while also kind of high. And Yakim just goes, you have to understand a lot of things that, you know, we don't think his name's actually Julian, but nobody knows what his real name is. He took it off of one of those holovids, you know, the Julian Chronicles and, you know, all those like spy stories that just kind of get circulated around from the Golden Age. You know, first real juicer hero, maybe our last one, but at least our first one. No, Julian took the name. She goes, oh, well, but he calls himself Julian the First. Yeah, it's kind of an inside joke, right? Like, kings would always, if they live long enough to have kids, they would give themselves, you know, such and such the first. But, you know, as juicers, we, likelihood of us having kids is pretty nil. You know, not that anything particularly happens or goes wrong, it's just, what is sex when you can watch time stand still? I can leap off a building and pretty much feel each heartbeat. I can, in the moment, when the drugs kick in, when you actually hit the juice and the zone kicks in, I can watch a hummingbird. I can reach out and grab it before it can react. We did that once, out in a field, and saw one. So, you know, Jake, that crazy bastard, he asked somebody, hey, why don't you come over here and shoot me in the foot? So we did it, and of course his juice kicked in, and it was just like watching suddenly this hummingbird just get snatched out of midair by something even faster. He said he, while the juice was flowing, he could feel its little heartbeat in his fingertips. He said he could feel it just panicking, and he realized that of course that hummingbird was probably nature's first juicer. You know, they gotta eat almost 1,000 calories per day just to keep their little hearts going. They burn through it so quick. Some of us do that too. Julian's one of them. She goes, what do you mean? You have to eat more food than usual? Is there going to be enough in the car? No, I'm fine, but some of the different styles of juicers, the different cocktails and medications and the different programs that are involved. Yeah, you have to understand that Julian's an ultra juicer. He's a titan, right? Big dude. But it backfired. But not all of us take to it right away. And so when he first was on the juice, his body had to burn 6,000-7,000 calories per day to keep the blood, to keep the body growth and the hormones going. So he had an issue right up front. He just ate and ate and ate, and he could literally starve to death just mid-meal. And so, while he was going through the first phases, it must have been rough for him. Anyway, ask me about Juliet. You just ask me kind of, what is he to me? He's our leader. And we call him that in full expectation that, you know, he may not be around forever. None of us will, but, you know, the Juicer Army of Liberation. It's all some of us got since Newtown. And she, I had heard a little bit of Newtown, but what happened? You know, the Coalition locked that down immediately, but you guys made it out alive. What happened? So I'm going to fate roll. Does Yakim tell her about Newtown? So this is a 65 with 50-50. That is 80 on the dot. I really can't get into it. That's not a question for me. It's a question for some history nerd somewhere out there. What I can tell you is that we were duped. They lied to us. There was no cure. But when we found out why, some of us died, some of us killed, some of us are still here. Oh, so now it's your turn to be mysterious? Huh. Well, at least you know which one of me's in here. I'm just glad you haven't switched back to Tawny. No offense, you know, to you or Tawny, but you are way easier to talk to. She goes, well, I'm going to take that as a compliment, but Tawny's telling me to go fuck yourself. Yeah. Oh, don't worry, Tawny. I'm sure I'm going to miss you too soon. So, they carry on down the road. Another couple of days. So I'm going to ask a fake question here. I'm going to say it's unlikely, but is Yakim now within, let's say, 3 days, considering that was the deviation, is he within 3 days of the location? 47, 50-50, and 6, yeah. So they're at least within 3 days. And the fuel keeps going. We'll roll a, you know, just to make sure, we're going to roll a supply check. So this is a D8 plus one to make sure that they have enough supplies to get there. So it's 4 plus 1, it's 5. So yeah, they have enough. But I'm going to knock it down to just the D8. Get rid of the plus one, as that's kind of burned on this. So now each time there's only a success, it's going to go down a little bit. On a failure, it'll go down. On a success, it'll be fine. But counting the plus one is the extra fuel that they picked up. For those who may be wondering what I'm talking about there, in addition to the wealth die now being a thing, I'm tracking supplies. But instead of trying to say, like, oh, he's carrying, you know, an extra 20 gallons of fuel and an extra 6 days worth of food, I'm effectively obscuring it by giving him a die type, a D6, a D8, D12, whatever, based on the amount of supplies that he has. So getting refueled by the farmer, he went from a D6 to a D8, and then the extra fuel, I'm giving him a plus one, hence the D8 plus one. And when you're running Savage Worlds that uses either a wealth and or a supply die, you roll it like an attribute check. And if it's a 4 or higher, it's a success. They have what they're looking for. They have the money they need. With the wealth dies, if you succeed, then you buy the shiny new gun or the brand new vehicle, but your die goes down, representing that you just burn a lot of money. So you can't just chain a bunch of huge purchases together. If you roll with a raise, then you can, because your die won't go down. That's kind of what it means. You got the deal of the century. A failure means you can't buy it. And then snake eyes, or like a critical failure, means that not only does your die go down because, you know, you pay for whatever it is you're looking for, but you don't actually get what you're looking for. And you get your ass beat, you get rolled in a back alley, turns out to be a fake, something along those lines. So, but for this, we're just doing the supplies. So they've got enough fuel to get there in the 3 days. So that first day just kind of clicks back over. And so let's now ask our next fake question. Is there, and we're talking Chaos Factor 6, is there signs of coalition forces in the area? And I'm going to call this likely, as we are getting close to the Missouri border. Oh, 77, but that is below, oh, it's 71. So there are signs. Let's look at the description to see if we can get what those signs actually are. Let's see here. I'm looking through the element tables. There's a terrain descriptors, which is nice, but civilization descriptors maybe. Characters, caverns, army, character conversations, objects, noble house, plot twists. Smells? Nah, that doesn't quite seem right. I may just end up going on to the cryptic messages, domicile descriptors. So we're going to go to descriptor 1 and descriptor 2. First descriptor is a 33. Ferociously, and now here's the thing, that's doubles. Ferociously, and now 61, ferociously messy. Okay, so I like that. Ferociously messy. As they begin to approach, there are obvious signs of some military movement in the area. I'm going to watch this page, but then I'm also going to give him a, I'm going to give Yakim survival roll. And yeah. That's cocked. Yakim doesn't quite notice it. Let's see if Keefe. She has a survival. She doesn't have a survival check. Okay. So I'm going to give her a D4 minus 2. I doubt that she's going to make it. Oh, that explodes. 2-5, yeah, okay. So Keith notices it first. And so let's give a d20 roll. So we roll doubles, we're going into an encounter. 3. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, 3. 3d10. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 12. As they're driving along, Keith notices it, and she just starts reaching out a hand and she starts patting him on the arm. It's like, Yakim, slow down. I think there's folks out there. And Yakim just kind of like snaps out his reverie. He's like, what do you mean, people? Do we need to be prepared? No. I don't think they mean us any harm, but look, that looks like a broken down wagon. He kind of settles in a little bit, his shoulders square up. He goes, keep an eye out. Sometimes bandits like to pose as refugees. They'll blockade the road, make it seem like they're just asking for help, and they'll surround you. He reaches down, unholsters the pistol, opens the clip, or opens the kind of latch on the outside, keeps it strapped in, puts his hand on it, the other hand in the steering wheel. She sees this, and she goes, okay, I hope it doesn't come to that. But Yakim is relieved to notice that her hand is now gripping the haft of her sword, just in case. As they pull up, he slows down a little bit, and sure enough, there's a broken down mechanical horse just along the side of the road, black blast marks on the outside of it, a cart overturned, and just material spilled everywhere. Clothes, food, items. And then let's see. Let's roll. So we're going to roll into the characters real quick, because there is movement. 54. Innocent. Oh, this doesn't sound great, does it? Innocent and generous. Innocent and generous with 99, wild, and 51. Wild and foul. Okay. There is a sudden movement, and somebody steps out from around the cart. The heads poke up, and let's... I need one more thing. Where's the mutation page? Mutations... I thought I had seen it. Well, I mean, I undoubtedly saw it, but it's probably like my first page in this thing. Yep, there it is. So 19 constrain and 7 attack, constrained attack. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. I know who these are. There's movement. And as Yakim slows down his car, he looks out and he just lets it come to a part. It's like, all right, do you have a gun or something? And Keith looks over, he's like, yeah, I've got a rifle, but you gonna be okay? He goes, yeah, I'm just gonna step out. I think I saw somebody, and if it is what I think it is, we may get some information out of him. Notice check. Succeeds. He steps out, still slings the rifle along his back, but it seems in a very kind of, loose hold. And he steps forward. Yeah, speaks out loud. He's like, hey, I saw you over there. I know you're here. You can step out. I've had dealings with your type before.
Please join us on Patreon at patreon.com/dyingsai. Gain early access to episodes, access to our Discord, and just generally help support the show. This game references the Savage Worlds game system, available at Pinnacle Entertainment Group at www.peginc.com. It is unofficial media content permitted under the Media Network Content Agreement. This content is not managed, approved, or endorsed by Pinnacle Entertainment Group. Certain portions of the materials used are the intellectual properties of Pinnacle, and all rights are reserved. Savage Worlds, all related settings and unique characters, locations and characters, logos and trademarks are copyrights of Pinnacle Entertainment Group.